Welcome and welcome back, everybody, to the OK Grognard Show. Today is Monday, February 12th, 2024, 10 a.m. Central in beautiful Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about how I believe game begets story. That is a new phrase for me. I've often said, when asked, in fact, I was recently asked, somebody said, they were talking about the anniversary game on the 27th of January, 50th anniversary, that we got to play with Ernie Gygax running the game, DMing through a first edition game. And somebody said, well, what was your mission? What was the story? I said, we were exploring. What do you mean, exploring? Well, we were just wandering around looking for stuff and things to do. We were an adventuring party, and we were not looking for something specific. We were in a setting location where we knew there was a underground complex below a somewhat ruined castle. And we were there, nosing around, trying to find stuff. I don't think we found anything that somebody would scream that should be in a museum. But it wasn't an officially licensed archaeological dig. But it was a journey of exploration. And we liked it. So that's pretty much how, for me, in 1974, when I first learned of Dungeons & Dragons and we first played it, I've told this story before, how we were in wargaming clubs in Waukegan in northern Illinois in the early 70s, a bunch of us youngsters, having started playing some war games with the local older kids from the neighborhood who were often ROTC kids, and they needed more cannon fodder, so they deigned to teach us younger kids how to play their war games. And a lot of us had been chess players prior to that. And eventually we decided... war games were great. And we found out about some local game clubs at, like, the rec center. Most of it was populated by guys from Great Lakes Naval Training Center and, to some degree, Fort Sheridan, which was, I think, near Lake Forest, a little further south. It was mostly service people that were playing in these clubs, and we escalated to going there. And a lot of them played war games up in Lake Geneva when they could. They would head up, you know, in the late 60s and the early 70s, they were heading up for those early Gen Con events and playing war games against Gary and his crew up in Lake Geneva. So when they heard about, they found out about Dungeons & Dragons when that was first published. They brought it back with them to our clubs, and that's how we glommed onto it. And we were young and impressionable, but a lot of people, a lot of wargamers thought of it as an offshoot of wargaming at that time. And they were playing it. And we started playing it, and we were having a lot of fun with it. Became part of the regular gaming rotation. And all of that is background, so as to say that in those early days, someone would create a setting, a location, usually by the book was, you know, put a small town somewhere, put a dungeon nearby or some ruins. Something where adventurers can go and explore. And you'd roll up characters, and invariably they would die, and you'd roll up more, and run off to the next adventure, and you'd keep going and exploring all these crazy things that whoever had the most time to DM would put into a dungeon. I remember my buddy Jerry, who created a dungeon for us called, which he called Tantalus, which, you know, what a natural thing. It's part of why I call the underworld in my own setting, which I started DMing as well in 74. The underworld in my own setting I call Tartarus, is much a nod to Greek mythology as to my buddy Jerry having named his first dungeon Tantalus. And we had a blast. You would just go and explore and try to survive and get back to town with your ill-gotten gains and buy more supplies and heal up and rest up and head back out again. And if we could get more players so we had more characters, because we all just played one character in those days. I know a lot of people had stables of characters. In those early days, ours just didn't live that long to be part of a stable. We would play until they were gone, and then we'd create a new one and go back at it. And it was pretty crazy. It was a lot of fun, but it was just exploring. We weren't told to go and find the chalice of blah, 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 or go and seek out the captured princess from the dragon in the depths of Tantalus. You know, we didn't have stories or missions or anything even quest-like in those early days. It was just go and randomly find stuff. You'd go left, you'd go right. The DM had a whole creation there for you to just poke around in. And some things that warranted would have some treasure. Sometimes treasure would just be laying around, but watch out, it might be trapped. Contact poison was always nasty. And you'd find what you could. So the question came up on social media recently, what were you doing with Ernie DMing? And I said exploring. And I'm like, what? I don't get it. And I trotted out a phrase I've used for quite a long time, which is, I said, no story. I said, well, story is a byproduct of gameplay. You play the game, and whatever happened, whether it was your characters all meeting an untimely end, or whether you managed to vanquish some foe and gather up their treasure and head triumphantly back to town, whatever happened during gameplay becomes the story. And that's the way I've tried to run my game. So, no, sorry. Well, you know, the counter was, well, they're in a setting, and there are people there who they talk to, so they're obviously following, you know, you are creating the story for them to follow. Well, no, you're not. And really, to use more modern terminology, it's a matter of agency. And you have to understand that for a certain level of exploration gameplay, players that join the game are exercising their agency. They know you have a setting, perhaps, based loosely on medieval Western Europe, and with magic sprinkled in. And they know all this because you say, we're playing first edition D&D in a sort of traditional setting. And they're like, okay, yeah, that's a game I'd like to join. So they're already exercising their agency by joining the game. And, well, if they join my Lord of the Rings game where they have to get the ring to Mount Doom, aren't they exercising their agency to join that? Well, yes and no. I've got another video. If you look for it, it describes the continuum on which one finds a sandbox at one end and a railroad at the other. And these are extremes. No game exists completely at one end, sandbox, where you can absolutely do anything, because at some point, just sharing the English language, for me, with my players, creates some expectations such that I'm a little off the edge of the sandbox. I'm not going to start speaking French. I can't speak French. So when I run my games, you won't find me speaking French. And I try not to do the really bad French accent, because that's offensive to French people. I think. I don't know. I've never done one for a French person. I should talk to Benny. Anyway, because there are some limitations on what I can bring into a game, it's not a pure, if you will, pure sandbox. On the other hand, if I'm running the Lord of the Rings game, so to speak, and I've actually glommed all of my plot points from the Lord of the Rings novels, then am I railroading them? Well, I'm closer to that than I am to sandbox, for sure, because there's a lot of expectations about what's going to happen during the games. I'm only allowing the players to make halflings and wizards and no paladins. Well, maybe something that's kind of like a paladin, but or a fallen paladin. Maybe that's a character class for Sean Bean to die in. And I am, after all, creating a lot of expectations. There is a lot of funneling toward a particular story. So it's further over that way. But as soon as I roll the dice, as soon as I allow any player to contribute, then it becomes a shared story. So at that point, it's not a complete railroad by the DM. It comes off that edge of the continuum. And every game that's ever run falls somewhere in between. But absolutely, you can give your players lots of freedom and lots of agency to create within the setting, either through their character, or there are some games where the characters help create the setting. And certainly, there are times within even games like mine, which are generally not characters, players, rather, through their characters creating the setting. If they say something intriguing, hey, I'm looking for a bucket, and I'm in the town square, and I think there's a well nearby, so I'm going to check over there. Of course, there's wells in town. Now, I might not have put it on the map, but it certainly makes sense. And is there going to be a bucket nearby? I'll roll the dice, give it a percentage chance. I didn't create that myself. It's something that the player threw into the game, and because it made sense, I allowed a chance for it, and there you go. Do I even need to roll the dice? Some would say, let them find the bucket. Don't even roll the dice. If they want a bucket, it furthers their ends. They're getting into the game. Let it go. But as soon as I don't roll the dice, I edge a little bit further away from Sandbox and more toward Foregone Conclusionville over here at the other end of the continuum. So there is my explanation for why we just enjoy exploring. There you go. That's and this is a new phrase I came up with, right? Game begets story. I think that's probably a little less onerous to people who don't enjoy my long-used phrase of story is a byproduct of gameplay. I think it's still apropos. I never meant it to be offensive. It's just the progression of it. So there you go. Thanks a lot for dropping in today. This is a little longer than I expected it to be, but nevertheless, here we are. So, story begets, game begets story. This has been the OK Grognard Show today. Let us not forget. What am I trying to say? Oh, the show streams live on Twitch each Monday at 10 a.m. Central, and it's archived on YouTube. Check it out when you can. Like, subscribe, all those other things. Please, if you would, I would appreciate it. Thanks to our Patreon supporters, Tom Tullis of Fat Dragon Games, Carlos Leising of Castle Entertainment, Heath Farndon of the NAPD and D20, Dave O'Brien of Four Quacks Games, and, as always, Shane Bradley, DM Extraordinaire. This has been the OK Grognard Show from beautiful Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Bye-bye.